We're going to have our Bible reading. We're going to do it together, hopefully. It's from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus sits down with his disciples and tells them who's blessed as far as he's concerned. It's a bit like, you know, who's chosen? Whose side am I on? Who's on my side? Who am I picking for my team? Who am I regarding? Who am I looking at? I don't know if any of you have ever been rejected. I always seem to meet people in the hospital who tell me that they were turned down for the school choir because they couldn't sing.
Me.
You too, yes. And sometimes they're in their, I mean, this isn't you too. Sometimes they're in their 70s and 80s. You're younger than that. And you think all this time it's still playing on their mind when it comes to singing. They can't join the choir. They can't go to, you know, because they were turned down when they were younger. Jesus regards those others overlook. So we can have the reading, please. And if you can see at the beginning of each of the phrases there are some bits that say, start blessed, and they are in bold. Could you say those? And I will say the rest. Okay? I wonder if we're in that list somewhere. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you or persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thanks be to God for his word. Don't know if there are things that you would think should be on Jesus' list there, like, blessed are those who believe all the right things and can sign up to our statement of faith. Yeah? Just a suggestion. Blessed are those who whose lives are sorted, whose finances are secure, whose reputation is intact, who are respectable and respected in the church and have a nice home and a car and come to church even on a windy day. There's an alternative set of Beatitudes that a preacher from America has recently written, and I was very moved by it, and I've asked that can be read to us now.
Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt, those who aren't sure, who can still be surprised.
Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they no longer take in new information.
Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are the children who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you.
Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore.
Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you.
Blessed are those who no one else notices. The kids who sit alone at school lunch tables, the laundry people at the hospital, the sex workers, and the night shift street sweepers.
Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented.
Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you.
Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never get a break, the ones for whom life is hard, for Jesus chose to surround himself with people like them.
Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists.
Blessed are foster kids and the special education kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved.
Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of people.
Blessed are burned out social workers and the overworked teachers and the lawyers who work for nothing.
Blessed are the kind-hearted football players and the fundraising trophy wives.
Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed are they who hear that they are forgiven.
Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it.
Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it.
Well, there's no need for a sermon now after that, is there? Sorry, you're going to get a little bit anyway. Talking about people being blessed, it seemed to me that it's just possible that Jesus up that hill looking at the crowd and having his disciples around him is actually saying, see them? The people that, you know, the ones that have lost their dad. Yeah, they're blessed. See him at the back. No, at the back. The one with his head down. Yeah, he's blessed, etc. I imagine him looking out at that crowd and spotting all the people other people might overlook and say, they're part of the kingdom. They're the ones who I want to share the kingdom's love to. They're the ones we're called, you guys are called to be at. But then I also think, imagine him sitting with his disciples and looking around and thinking, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to tell you a story about blessing. It's a testimony from the hospital team. We have a tradition that says a tradition has been done 2 years running. It's a tradition of having a service where nurses are encouraged to come into the chapel with permission from their managers and have their hands blessed once a year. And it's a beautiful thing. I've only been there for one of these services, and there are 15 nurses there, and they were all very touched and moved, and it was a really holy moment where you felt, ooh, something great here. This year, it was one of those days when the hospital was full, everybody was too busy, and the message came down from the management, nobody can be released to come and be blessed. One of my colleagues said, well, we'll just have to go to them then. And so three little teams of people with some oil and some tissues, we went everywhere we could get to in our time around the hospital. I was out with a lady called Dusty Miller, if some of you might have heard of her. She's quite a character. So Dusty and I went to three or four wards and down corridors. And instead of being just nurses, we started with nurses, but everybody kept coming to be blessed. We had queues. Not just us, the other teams had the same experience. I'm going to share a couple of things that happened. So I was at the reception desk in a ward, and I said, we come here to bless people because people can't come down to us. What does that mean? It means we're going to just pray that God will let you know how special you are to him and put a little bit of oil on your hands if you want us to. Oh, can I have it? Oh, can I have it? Can I have it? Right? So cleaners, care workers, porters, surgeons, visitors, all sorts of people, as we were going around, joined the queue. One of the young women who was a care, what are they called? healthcare assistant, thank you. I'll get there eventually. Thank you. She said, I'm not religious, but I'd like to be blessed. So I blessed her hands and said, we had some words to start each blessing with, saying their name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I bless you and I bless your hands and all that you do to serve other people, and all that's happening in your life is blessed. Yeah. And sometimes you felt you wanted to say something else, depending on who it was. Yeah. And she stood there and she went, oh, wow. Went down the ward, saw a couple of other people, stopped them doing whatever they were doing for 5 seconds. They had their blessing, came back. She was telling everybody else what happened. She said, I've never felt anything like it. It was fantastic. I feel so different. Wonderful. She lives in Yarmouth. She came up to me a bit later in the day and said, I think I ought to go to church. Where should I go? Of course, I said park. So, wherever she went, I don't know. So I was in a little another bit talking to a number of admin staff, and there was one of the senior doctors there who's a Muslim and an African gentleman, and I know him because they come to prayers on a Friday afternoon, and so I said salam alaikum to him a few times, you know. And he said, me too. So, yes. Being as he was a Muslim, I said a different prayer at the beginning. I said, I bless you in the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. And then the rest, because that was obviously more appropriate for him. And he said, he grabbed my hand off and said, thank you, thank you. Walking through a corridor, a surgeon had obviously come out of surgery. He had the gear on. And he was rushing down the corridor looking a little bit stressed. And I thought, well, better not offer. Then I thought, yes, I better offer. So I said, would you like a blessing? He said, yeah. Didn't ask for an explanation, just hands out. As I blessed him, tears down his face. As soon as I finished, off he went again. I don't know what he'd been seeing or doing that day or what he was going to have to do that day. But there was a blessing for him there. A little Muslim cleaning lady. Doesn't say very much. I don't think her English is that good, to be fair, but she just sort of stood at the back while the others were milling round. So I looked at her and I said, you too? She said, can I? Yes. A Hindu nurse and others, many people. People I would not expect to be blessing that day, right? You're getting the point here. But as I went around the hospital, Jesus wanted to bless them. Nobody was going to be excluded. It was great because a couple of days later, someone came down to the chapel and said, I wasn't at work when you came and blessed my team. Can I have a blessing as well? And so on. And since then, we have made more of a habit of saying a blessing to anybody we can who it seems feels might be willing to receive that. So this blessing of Jesus really comes home to me now. Because he's not in the chapel or the church or the congregation. He's up a hill surrounded by people who don't go to the synagogue all that often, or maybe not welcome at the temple because they're disabled or they're the wrong sort. And he's blessing them. And it means he's blessing us too. Everybody is included. We're going to sing Everyone Needs Compassion, and then I'll speak to you again, so don't think it's over. Please do sit down. Your minister that's joining you soon suggested that visiting speakers might want to think about a passage from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, there might be only one chapter in Peter, actually. Verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God. And that word chosen stuck in my mind. And we thought about compassion. Another C word, chosen. I was ordained when I was 30, so this year I will have been a minister for 30 years. Who knew I could pull it off for that long? I don't think until the last 5 or 6 years that I really fully accepted that God had chosen me. And I'm going to be completely frank, because there's no point in beating about the bush. It was because I'm gay. And I felt that there was something wrong with me. I was overawed that God loved me despite it, but I could never really feel accepted for who I was. And that's still sometimes, that's the thing that will come up to me. No, you'll have something else that makes you feel you got divorced. You lost a job. Whatever it is, we'll all have something different. But I know that God chose me for that particular role. And I know that even more now that I'm working at the hospital, because nothing to do with me. I just walk up to people and find Jesus is already there and they're ready to talk and wanting me to pray. I met a lady this week. I hadn't met her before. I walked in and I said, are you tired? Because she looked tired. Or do you want to talk? And she said, yes, I want to talk. And she told me, this is a lady in her 80s, telling me lots of things from her past and their family's past, including violence and abuse, and just poured out of her. And I sat there thinking, I did nothing to open up this conversation. I did nothing to touch this lady's heart. I just turned up, and God was already preparing her for this encounter. And please don't tell tales on me, but when I finished with speaking and praying with her, she asked me for a hug, and I gave her a hug. I'm not supposed to touch patients, really, you know. But I gave her a hug, and it was just her and I in a side room, so it was a little bit sort of, probably shouldn't be doing this. But as I held her and she held me, she held on, and I just felt I needed to carry on praying, so I did. And she said to me, I really felt that. Now, I don't know whether she's got long to live, actually. I'll find out on Monday if she's still with us. But I was so moved that God had used me as well as from what he did for her. And I want us all to know that. I don't want anybody to think that they're excluded from this, right? Nobody needs to be excluded. You can have mental health problems. You can be completely screwy as far as I'm concerned. God will still use you. I know it because he's used me, right? And as a church here preparing for your minister coming, please don't wait for her to come and be the answer. Because God chooses all of us. Just like up that hill, talking about all these different unlikely people, God chooses all of us. Now, one of the things that strikes me a lot, and this is coming out of my work at the moment especially, I meet no end of people who carry within them something that may be from childhood, or it may be teenage years, or it may be more recent, that digs away at them. And then when they're in hospital and they're vulnerable and they've got time to think about nothing else and they're in pain, some of you know what that's like being in hospital like that, they want to talk about it. And I think all those wasted years where they never opened up, where they didn't share that, where they weren't able to receive the healing that comes from somebody accepting their story and telling them that they matter. All those wasted years. Wouldn't it be nice if when your minister comes, lots of things have been sorted before she got here? Yeah? Sort things before she gets here. Don't let her come here and think, well, why didn't they sort that out before? Yeah? If there's something in your life or between you and somebody else which is messing things up, excuse me, I think that's my phone, I do apologise. See, I'm a mess up still. If something's messing your life up or stopping you going forward or holding you back, whatever it is, all we've been singing about today, all we've been reading about today, all you sing and read about every Sunday, it's for you. God chooses to bless and to heal and to touch you. You don't have to wait for your pastor to come and say some magic words. Right? So there's about being chosen. I expect most of us have felt disregarded or overlooked or something at some point. And you know what? Churches can be the worst place for that because we expect more from church. You know, if at work you don't get on with somebody, you don't get on with them. Usually. That's all there is to it. If in church there's someone that rubs you up the wrong way, oh, but we're Christians and we shouldn't be like this, and it becomes an issue, and sometimes it breaks relationships. You've not experienced that here, have you? Okay. So that hurt, that disregard, that sense of being overlooked or not really accepted, that discrimination, even that bullying, can happen in churches. We're all chosen. Jesus looks at us and looks beyond us to our community and says, see that one there? They're blessed. They're a child of God. Heaven is all about their life too. Yeah? We need to have that attitude as well. So compassion, chosen. The third word I wanted to think about was called. They will be called the sons of God. Yeah? I don't know what people call you. I've been called a few things in my life, and I'm not going to repeat some of them. What we're called, as far as God's concerned, isn't just about what we do. It's about who we are. Often he changes people's names in the Bible, doesn't he? Because they were called one thing, but actually, he's making them something else. So he changes that. You called yourself Light of Life Baptist Church. Let's hope the Lord called you that too, okay? It's not just what you do, it's who you are. Full of the light of life. Is that your experience? Because that's what you're called to be. I went to an ordination on Sunday afternoon at the Minster in Great Yarmouth. A friend of mine, Helen, was being priested, as they call it. It was actually very, very wonderful, even though it was blooming cold in there. The service was about an hour and a half in the Minster on a Sunday afternoon in the winter. But it was a fantastic atmosphere, and there was wonderful music and lots of young people, and you know, because all their friends came, family. Brilliant. And I thought I might bring you some of the words that they said over her and about her, and she had to say yes to. But they were amazing words. They were like, you're going to be perfect, 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 perfect. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I thought, how can anybody... I mean, obviously, she says, with the help of God, I will. Because no... And we're never fingers crossed, I imagine, as well. We probably feel overwhelmed sometimes at what God might need us to do. But I want us to know that he has compassion on us and everyone we go to. He has chosen us and everyone that we call in his name. He's called us to be the message that we share, the light of life. When Jesus chose his disciples a couple of chapters before this, there were two incidents that really struck me because they were so simple, and I like simple things. The first was John's disciples, one of them was Andrew, went up to Jesus, first time they'd seen Jesus. They'd just been told, behold the Lamb of God, and he asked a question. I don't know what you'd ask Jesus. You might ask Jesus, I don't know, what is your view on the latest controversy in the church? How should we structure our leadership? What should a mission strategy be? I don't know, whatever's on your mind. Or why isn't that person healed after all those prayers? Well, he went up to, Andrew and a friend went up to Jesus and they said, where are you staying? And where can we find you? And then another time, not long after, Andrew and his brother Peter, Simon Peter, were at the boats and Jesus walked past and he said, come, follow me. Neither time did he say, now, can you believe this, and this about me. In fact, you know, all the way from the New Testament, I don't think they still have got the full picture of who Christ is. Have we yet? Probably not, right? Or what it means to be saved. Or what God's really like. All of those things beyond. He just said, come and see, when they asked him where he's staying. Come and see. And then come, follow me. When we're called, when we're chosen, it's not just to do something. It's not even being something, it's being with him. That's why it works. I would not have the confidence to walk onto a ward in James Paget Hospital and think that I had anything to offer, except that I know I'm chosen, I know I'm called, and I know Christ. It's not just with me, but he's with them too. Okay. We're going to... There's no real punchline to this sermon, except we're going to sing a song that is from Iona. It's sometimes sung during healing services there. And traditionally, the verses are sung without accompaniment, and then everybody joins in the chorus. And being Iona, they would have a cross on the floor and lots of little candles everybody lit. We're going to have to imagine that stuff, okay? But what we're going to do is we're going to teach it to you. It's called A Touching Place. Some of you might know it. I'm going to teach it to you, and then we're going to sing a verse and a chorus, have some moments to pray, where we can either pray silently or say out loud, anyone that comes to mind or any situation comes to mind. Then we're going to sing another verse and chorus, do the same, waiting and praying. Then another verse and chorus. I think there's four times. And then a fifth time, I'm going to invite you, if you want to stand, if you want people to be praying for you or someone close to you. And we will just pray in silence and then sing the chorus one more time. So what we're doing, instead of a punchline, instead of an altar call, is we're responding in prayer.